Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
What are we going to do?
Rob, Zane just record a podcast and then none of it got put out?
Yeah, who knows, man? This might be the same.
This might be the same. There is a lot of very touchy situations and subjects going on between players, money, tours, the whole shebang. So, we got to talk about it. It's what we do, Rob. So,
we've had a little slight absence because we've been trying to kind of let all the dust settle, but it sounds like a press release might come out a little later today announcing this merger between PPA and MLP, but still a lot of fuzzy details all around, a lot of different opinions all around too. And of course, we're going to share ours here. So as much as we can, tiptoeing around and not trying to, ruin our careers.
Yeah, I'm going to say completely agree. Couldn't have said it better myself as many times as possible. I know how all the
people love that. Yeah.
People love it when I agree aggressively. And so, yeah, whatever.
Whatever. So we had the tour wars. We had a couple signing sprees, MLP signing spree. PPA went on an egregious signing spree with people that have never played pickleball before, that have got good tennis pedigrees. And Lord knows how much money they've committed. But it's gotten outrageous in terms of what these salaries and what this payroll is going to be now that, MLP and PPA have come together, and it sounds like it's going to be a 50-50 merger between the two. And a lot of people that haven't played pickleball very long are making a lot of money, Adam.
Yeah, but I mean, well, let's just talk about that first. Was it not a reasonable pivot, though, from PPA, given like the bulk of, premier level players and early couple rounds, challenger players for MLP signing a very high clip, seemed like 70, 75, 80% of those players. I mean, it seems like a reasonable pivot. I don't know how much these players have played before, or more importantly, how much they're going to play now that they have signed and then are moving forward, especially the tennis players. But they didn't really have a lot of options once those middle-class and upper-middle-class players got taken by MLP.
Yeah, no, it's a reasonable pivot for sure. Go to, you got Donald Jung, who played in the Bubbly Championship in Vegas last year, who I think was pretty raw at the time. I have no idea if he's been playing pickleball or not.
Oh, he was number two for me, though. I watched for 2 minutes, and I was like, Jack Sock's legit. I thought Donald Jung, granted, he made quite a few mistakes and didn't know what he was doing. From just a how it looked perspective, it looked to me that he had number two talent ahead of Isner and Querrey, to be honest.
Oh, no doubt about that. Just in terms of like the way he played tennis.
He moved. Yeah, all that stuff.
He's an Atlanta guy. And when I coached at Georgia State, he'd come out and help hit with the team sometimes because, that was back when he was still playing the tour. But just in terms of his game, he's crafty. He's got really, really good hands. Not a huge guy, but not small either. I think he's 5'11", 6 foot maybe. But really soft hands, good craft, good skill. I mean,
lefty too.
It's a big deal too. Yeah. So regardless, like PPA went and started picking up a bunch of tennis players. They got Jeannie Bouchard, which, I think she's doing modeling. She's a influence, whatever happened after her tennis career. She's made a lot of money, I think, and continues to make a lot of money. So I know she probably didn't come cheap, but now it's all, and they signed Jack Sock. I mean, we're talking, I have no idea on the actual numbers, but I would take a gander that they're close to 7 figures a year, if not over.
Yeah, I mean, she probably got a dollar for every one of her Instagram followers, 2.4 million. So there you go. I'm sure the number is healthy, as those are eyeballs that we've never really seen before in terms of a following for a player, at least. An owner, much different, as we have plenty of those at MLP, but in terms of a player. So not a surprising pivot there. And it was just, it was such a, like a little rat-a-tat-tat of signings, and it went so fast. And the signings didn't really taper off just knowing who the players were kind of tapered off a little bit towards the end, Rob. It was a wild, probably 48 or 72 hours. And yes, and there was a few who's in there that weren't, you know, like Jeannie Bouchard and had the followings or played tennis or whatever. They were more just who pickleball players, which is very surprising for you and I, who are very in the know of the player pool. And there was a couple, I think there was two or three that I was unsure of. So wild times.
Adam, there are a couple PPA signees, and obviously I can't verify the dollar amounts based on not seeing contracts and not being privy to that. But there's, from what I hear and know, allegedly, is that there's a couple PPA signed players that are not challenger level players that each are making a $250,000 to $500K a year.
Yeah, that,
which is wild stuff, man.
Yeah, that doesn't seem real. I mean,
and with no celebrity involved or no tennis pedigree.
Sure,
involved.
Right. And then it is a package deal in these situations. And I think for some of these players, there's no package. It just is what it is. And these are the numbers they're receiving. So,
and respect to them, because they, I mean, I don't want to say they deserve it, but they somehow got it.
Yeah, so, right. Hey, I've never been a hater. So, no. I mean, if you somehow find a way to get yours, you find that perfect sliver in time, Rob, to make a contract happen for you, then, hey, you good for you.
Yeah, good for you. But at the same time, I do believe there are some players that got royally screwed with this. I mean, you're going to have players that committed to MLP really early on, didn't really want to consider signing with the PPA, took a third to a quarter of what the PPA was offering just to not play with the PPA, which tells you something. And now you have people that are ranked much, much lower than them making 2 to 3X what they're making, potentially on the same MLP team. You know what I mean? Which is wild. You could have your fourth round pick making 2X, 3X what your first round pick's making, which brutal stuff. You know, and I don't feel like I feel like MLP contracts and offers and the dollar amounts that they're paying are probably over true market value, you know. And I feel like the PPA contracts are like incredibly overvalued. So, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen. I doubt it will happen. These contracts are in place. I don't know if they're contracts like ironclad. I don't know if they're LOIs. I don't know what they are, but that's a lot of payroll you're taking on. What I'd like to see, this is just me personally, is have the MLP contracts be the baseline, because they are super fair. If we're talking about what people are making last year versus this year versus next year, and renegotiate those PPA contracts to bring them in line with what the true market value is. But I don't know if that'll happen, but I think that's in terms of like what should happen, that should happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
I mean, I doubt it will.
Yeah. I think here's my first agreement. That was well said, Rob. Just joking, but it is pretty clear that the MLP is some form of reasonable valuation of the players. And then as that first 50% got signed, it got sloppy. It just did. It got sloppy. And I have a ballpark of some idea of numbers, don't know any specifics, but you know, I mean, when Kwong Duong is getting $500,000 per year, and let's be clear, seems like a very nice kid, has some phenomenal ground strokes, a couple nice runs and singles.
And it this just is just allegedly.
Alleged. Yes, it is.
We haven't seen the signed paperwork.
I do not know.
We've both heard that.
Yeah, and I heard it's in that vicinity. And that is just something that's not sustainable. Maybe in a year, maybe in 18 months, his doubles games comes around. But, you know, he's just someone that's burst onto the scene, has a very solid singles game, and has pretty much never had a result whatsoever on the doubles court. And so maybe he gets there, but maybe he just stays what he is. And for that to be in the vicinity of that number that I said, just doesn't seem sustainable and real and possible to create a business or business model, or unless pickleball blows up 10x in the next 2 years, I don't know. So,
dude, it's insane. Yeah, Who approved that?
I don't know. And I don't know.
It's insane.
And, so, and that's just one example. And there's probably 10, 15 plus more similar numbers for similar level of play. And yeah, I don't want to say it was panic or whatever, but the player pool got smaller and the numbers didn't. And here we are.
And Adam, we've talked to some people about this, and it's like, you know, from an outsider's perspective, I was like, you know, why is the merger happening? Right. It looked like based on purely numbers and purely who was signing with who, that PPA was pretty much dead in the water is what it looked like from an outsider's perspective. MLP, you know, especially when MLP signed the Johnsons and Dill, we're like, oh, okay, that's pretty much the nail in the coffin. And then, you know, that kind of settles. And then you hear about a merger and you're like, why? You just got everybody, you know, outside of a couple that you really wanted. And you're still like, your product's still going to be ridiculously good in a team format, having all the players that you have. It's stacked outside of a couple, but in my opinion, you don't really need those couple to have an incredible product, which you already have based on all the players you've signed. So, it's just interesting that it felt like, you know, MLP kind of got in over their head and bailed out the PPA is what it felt like to, I think, a lot of people. It was like, why are you bailing out the PPA? And I think, you know, some of the people with MLP would be like, well, you know, you could look at it as the PPA bailing out MLP based on, you know, everybody they sign and the money that, you know, they put into payroll and all of this. But yeah, I don't know. It just kind of spiraled out of control. It feels like it didn't feel like, which is wild, right? How are you going to go on the spending spree signing players trying to separate from PPA without really having a budget or a plan or knowing or looking at how this might end up? So I don't know, man. It's wild stuff. It's stuff made for movies, and it's and Hollywood's crazy if they aren't capturing this right now, because it's not real.
Yeah, it got freaky for sure. There's no question about that. And there's plenty of little. Please.
Speaking of not real.
Uh huh.
Shout out to my boy Zane Navratil. Vibe still does not exist.
Yeah, and you know, Zane made a little video about some of his previous negotiations with you know, the PPA and APP and this and that. And so
go ahead, Adam.
I was just gonna say it was a different situation back then. I think that previously with the APP and the PPA negotiations, that we clearly had a heavy hitter and a minor league hitter with the APP in those negotiations. And so it was tough because there, I don't think that a lot of people thought that there was no risk in waiting to negotiate or possibly sign something. And then we basically had the APP pull out of that situation. So this was a much different negotiation because we had pretty even in terms of the power of the two leagues and MLP and PPA, and those players that waited a little bit very much got paid bigger. And so that was the difference between the two negotiations for me. And the numbers got crazy as we've talked about. So,
which is actually a stark contrast to what happened at the end of 22. The players that signed quickly and got locked in, you know, were smart at that time.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of waited a little bit last year. I was talking to both PPA and APP, and APP stopped negotiations with players. Mm-hmm. PPA pulled back and I was left holding, you know what?
Yes. And that's what I was talking about. Exactly.
So, but yeah. So the players that kind of waited this time around got rewarded. The players that signed early kind of, you know, didn't get quite as much as they could have if they would have held out a little longer, but whatever. It's all crazy numbers. It's all too much money for what we're doing, which is hitting a wiffle ball without many people watching it at that.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing? Nobody's even watching these matches, Nobody's watching. Nobody's watching. Nobody.
I know, but these are extremely successful businessmen in a variety of fields, and they're just throwing money at this thing. It has to make you think a little bit. I mean, I see what's happening. I see the numbers. I see the product, and then I see, you know, the people watching and then what people got paid. But why are these guys throwing so much money at this when they have a pretty good track record of being successful with their business endeavors? Please tell me that, Robert.
Because ego's a bitch, man.
Okay. That's a very simple, concise answer and a very reasonable one as well.
Yeah. I think they're in a boxing match and they don't want to lose.
And they don't want to, yeah.
And it's a little bit of play money at this point. So it's, you know.
Monopoly money? Dare I say monopoly money?
Dare you say. Yes. And if they lose the money, they're still gonna have their four houses and be just fine, you know?
Yeah, right. And I think I can't remember exactly who it was, but they met with Tom Dundon very early on a couple years ago, and they were like, "Well, what?" And I was like, "Well, what's he like? You know, whatever." And I believe the response was, "He likes the game of business and he likes winning." So I think that's what he does. He likes to play the game of business. Some people like to play pickleball. Some people like to play business. That's what Tom Dundon does. And he likes to win at the game that he's playing. And here we are.
And to be fair, Tom Dundon loves pickleball like that.
Oh, yeah. And he's pretty good too. He's pretty good too.
And he's good. But he certainly obviously has done well in business. There's no doubt, but I don't think it's just business. I think he truly does love the game. I mean, I think it's different levels of, you know, if you're looking at Steve Kuhn versus Tom Dundon, like Steve Kuhn is like passionate to the core in his heart about pickleball changing lives and being the sport of the future and doing so much good in this world. And, you know, Tom Dundon likes playing the game, enjoys pickleball, maybe loves pickleball. It's just two different levels, but Tom, yes. It's just not the same. But obviously both, you know, are elevating the sport.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question about that. It's elevating the sport. And so let's talk about this. So moving forward in, what is it? 2023. Yes. Moving forward in 2023, we have a handful of PPA events and then three team events moving forward. What is the buzz or what have you heard about possible sitting out, not participating both sides basically in the other's events? Any buzz about that?
Yeah, I think it was a little different when we thought the tours were going to fully separate and we were going to have MLP be separate from PPA. At this point, there's really no reason to sit out PPAs if you're showing up and you're getting an appearance fee, even if you signed with MLP. You know, you're going to go collect those checks. Maybe pull out of the bronze matches, which we saw a lot of this past weekend. And what was it? Cincinnati,
yeah. Kansas City 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yep. So I think MLP signed players will continue to play PPAs as long as they're getting paid. And I think, you know, the one thing that we might see coming up in Atlanta and even moving forward in the next couple of events is there's a growing contingent of players that signed MLP very early on, were very loyal, that feel, not just feel, it's a fact, that they kind of got screwed, right? They got screwed because they were told that, you know, if a merger happened, that these contracts, you know, these inflated, bloated contracts from the PPA that they're being offered would not be honored. So they didn't entertain them and said, okay, I'm not going to negotiate with the PPA. I'm just going to sign with MLP because the pay is fair. It's true market value. It's real. And they will pay us, where we don't know if the PPA will actually pay us. So there's a contingent of players that it seems may sit out based on their team's fourth round pick getting 3x the dollar amount than the team's first round pick. And it's not right. It's messed up. It's not true market value. It's like you said, Adam, a little bit of monopoly money in terms of what, you know, it felt like PPA was offering just to try to keep up.
Right. You know, so it's like, It's like offer. It almost seemed like it was offer a big contract just so they don't win, and then we'll figure it out later. Kind of.
That's what it felt like, wasn't it? Yeah. Isn't that like that? That was what it felt like during all these signings. It was just like it felt like PPA was literally burning down their own ship just to not let MLP have some of these players.
That's,
you know what I mean.
Russians did when the Red Army or when the French Napoleon came. They just burned their own cities and then they just moved more inland. So there's a little history.
I like that. Well done, guys. Thank you.
You know, just throwing it out there.
Yeah, you've been studying up.
I have been watching some documentaries about that stuff. So I like it. Here we are. okay.
Napoleon and pickleball.
Yes. Yeah. So we lost our train of thought. What were we talking about?
So what's the vibe? Right. What's the buzz kind of with the rest of this year and who's playing what? So, yeah. So there's a growing contingent of players that are looking to potentially sit out of Atlanta and in terms of, you know, making a stand and making a statement of this isn't okay. And I don't necessarily know if they want more money to be in line with what the PPA offers are.
They want them to have less.
Well, probably just fair market value, which it doesn't feel like it is right now. So
it doesn't. And it seems to me, I don't know the inner workings of this either, but LIV Golf. So it's like these guys separated from PGA, got paid. And then a few months later, it's all the same. They just got a check.
Yeah.
So the guys that were loyal to PGA got nothing.
Well,
go ahead. Go ahead.
A difference there is that some of those PGA players did get equity. The players that were loyal did get equity in the league. I believe.
Okay.
So there was a little bit of a make good. And speaking of which, I have from MLP 2021, every player that was drafted, yourself included, Adam, was awarded shares in MLP. Do you remember this?
Do we
still have those shares?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Are they real?
I think they are. Prof, I'm pretty sure Prof had did some light digging and figured it out, I think.
Those shares have likely increased in value quite a bit.
Sure. So
I should probably
check that out.
Check that out and cash that out.
Right. Hey, you're the big winner season one. Let's go. So we have a little note on what 2024 could possibly look like here. So it is going to be, it's a pretty wide range, somewhere between 20 and 35 tournaments with 50-50 being in the vicinity of 50-50 being regular standard tournaments, and then the other 50 being team events. So that is the very early on structure that 2024 could look like. And there will not be any more drafts. We are going to be selling and buying players a la EPL, English Premier League Soccer.
Free agency. Yeah.
Very similar. Yes. Very similar. Thoughts?
No relegation system. That's kind of been tabled for now, it seems. So not looking at relegation and promotion. You're going to have it go to a kind of a salary cap situation with like, let's call it monopoly money, right? Based on a first round pick being worth, you know, call it 400K, whatever it may be. There's going to be a set dollar amount for your team, and you're going to have to construct your team being smart with those dollars.
Right. So they're kind of like a salary cap,
but imaginary dollars.
Yes. Okay. Right. Exactly.
So that's not going to change. Players are going to get paid more from these teams that are signing them. The players are getting paid what they're getting paid. There's going to be additional prize money. But teams are not paying more out of pocket for player salaries and stuff like that. It's just fake money. So I think that's cool. I think it's going to be super fun to see how teams construct, how GMs decide to construct their teams. You have to be really smart. And Adam, I know you kind of love this aspect of it from fantasy stuff. It's going to be cool to see. You know, do you go top heavy, going with with a top three type person, or do you just really balance it out? And we have a little bit of data now, looking back on the last couple of years, in terms of results and what teams have done best, and how those teams were constructed. And I think, you know, it's a fair amount of data to look at to see how you want to construct teams. How would you construct a team right now, Adam?
Yeah, I think it's very exciting. So I've done this with baseball, the salary cap league. I know a lot of people do it with football, but it really is. It's just all about value. So it's like you could just basically not even like a player, but they're going for a dollar amount that you need to pull the trigger on, or you know, vice versa. So if you could really love someone, but the numbers get too high, and so it's, you're kind of in on every player where you do the snake draft, you go back and forth. There's little pockets of players, or you have the ninth pick, you're not going to get, you know, JW and Riley and whoever. So I think constructing a team, we've had a little whatever, I think it was the Mad Drops that had a very consistent, solid team throughout, no real weak spots, or do you get a, you know, an Anna Lee Waters or Riley Newman, and then have some, maybe some dips in terms of your third or fourth round player. So I think it makes a very interesting dynamic. And I like the fact that you are in on every player and you do have a strategy and maybe a number that you don't want to go over, but you're not just blocked out from getting certain players, which is part of the deal in a regular snake draft.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. So what'd you say? 20 to 35 events, half will 50% team, 50% will be tournament style. I mean, it's a lot of events, right? Well, I know with existing contracts, for example, like I believe we were committed to a certain number of days for the people that signed MLP. I think mine's 200 days.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get the other 165 days to do whatever. So I think contracts are being honored. I guess that's a big point we should talk about, is that dollar amounts and whatever you sign for currently will be honored, even to some people's dismay with regard to the PPA of loaded contracts. But the dollars are going to hit bank accounts, I think. And then we'll see what happens. But, you know, a lot of people that signed MLP, for example, they didn't sign wanting to play PPA tournaments. They signed because they're like, okay, cool, I want to be involved with this team-based league. And that's what I believe pro pickleball should be moving forward. And that was a lot of the people that signed what they signed, you know, under the assumption of. And now you have the tour that a lot of the people that were signed with PPA this year that moved to MLP, they kind of were like, don't want to be involved with this anymore, want to go to the team-based event, trust MLP, want to do that. And now they are looped right back into the organization that they were looking to leave, which, unfortunate.
Yeah, and I can't speak for the players. There has to be a variety of reasons for this, but I think team greater than regular tournament is a pretty common thought. And I think you have that thought as well, Robert. Is that true?
Yeah, I definitely prefer. I think I've always said, I think team-based should be the future of pro pickleball. And it kind of is now, but it kind of isn't now, based on it being 50-50. I'd prefer it be, call it 75-25 team to event, team to tour, you know, have four majors where the prize money's big, it's a big production, and that'll be a fun tournament. But we don't need 20 tournaments and 15, whatever. We don't need to even split 50-50 is, in my opinion, not ideal.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like we might have 10 of each or up to 18 of each, depending on the numbers. So
it's a lot of pickleball, Adam. And yeah, I know it's another reason people wanted to go to MLP is, you know, it's not going to be as brutal on their bodies, as brutal on the schedules. They're going to get paid better. They're going to get, you know, they're going to get health insurance reimbursed. Like, they were looking at putting the players first. And now it's back to the same old stuff.
Looped back in. That's right. Whether it was the format, the grind, the organization in general, either way, it's looped back in at this point. And I think that, especially when we're talking about the amount of people, you know, 100 plus that got contracts, and not everyone's going to be happy. And that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. So, and again, we don't have all the information. I don't think anybody has all the information. Even with this press release coming out, I think it's going to be kind of macro level stuff where they don't have the details because they just, you know, they're just ironing out the deal details now, much less how it's going to look moving forward. So,
yeah, it's like, yeah, you have to do it and then figure it out later. We've been in that situation multiple times throughout pickleball, and I'm not sure there's a way around it with how things are shaking out now, but it is a kind of a scatterbrained episode with just so much information just kind of being dumped out there. And unfortunately, I think I might agree with you, Rob, that after the press release, it might just be reiterating things that we probably already knew, or maybe for sure making those facts. But I don't think we're going to get a lot of specifics and nitty gritty details at all today.
Yeah.
And that's just going to kind of trickle down as we move forward. So maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of how I see it.
What do you feel about the players that are choosing to sit out Atlanta? Do you think there's any merit to that? Do you think there's going to be any impact based on that?
It is interesting. And I have only heard this, you know, the last couple of days. And, I think if you initially thought people were going to be sitting out of MLP Atlanta, it would be PPA players that signed for some reason, not the actual MLP players. So, it is an interesting development given all that that's happened, but you know, numbers don't lie. And, when you have these situations and someone has an issue with it, or it brings up a thought in their head, that's not just going to go away, Rob. It's going to sit in there for these players, and something's going to have to happen, or it's stuff like this is going to continue.
Yeah, I just feel like what I heard was that each gender has 12 alternates showing up for MLP. Do you know that to be the case?
Yeah, I heard something along the lines of you can have more than your four-person team if it stays under a certain salary cap.
Also, I'm talking about Atlanta and the alternates coming for Atlanta. I heard that there were 12 alternates for.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. So before it was only a couple, maybe three, and now 12. They're creeping into the double digits just in case. I think there's probably going to be a couple people that do not show up, and that's known. And then you might get a couple surprises as well. So having a deep alternate pool is something that's going to have to happen. But
well, I guess my thought on the people sitting is that it only like your sitting will only make an impact if you have more people sitting than there are alternates to actually cause disruption to the event. If that's your goal,
right?
You know, if that's your goal. And like, I think you would need real numbers to make an impact. Otherwise, you're pretty replaceable if you've got 12 alternates. Obviously, not a good situation for your team, but you know, there will be somebody that gets filled in there, and the matches will go on, and it'll continue to happen, right?
Right. So sometimes you make that statement and it works out, and sometimes you make a statement and things just continue like you never nothing ever happened. So that I had not even thought about that in terms of a disruption level or what it might actually mean, but that is something to note. If those numbers aren't askew, just plug somebody in and let's keep rolling. And that's what will happen.
Yeah. So does I do feel for, do feel for those players that turn down big PPA contracts to stick with MLP.
Right. And for whatever it is, a week, 4 days later, it's not what they were hoping for. So
then we're talking life-changing money that got turned down.
So, I mean, it really is. I mean, we're talking absolute life-changing money for a lot of different players. And yes, this is something that it's far from over, Mr. Robert. And hopefully we just get an earth shattering press release and we get some good stuff and whatever, but I think it might just be pretty vanilla and the dominoes will fall after that.
Yeah, and I think, dude, I'm if you're cool with it, I'm good at kind of leaving this episode kind of jam packed with what we're at, and then we can record another one as new details emerge. But you know, there's not much to just continue hypothesizing around until we get right. actual information and the dust settles a little bit.
No, we needed to put something out. There's been too much going on, but I mean, it's changing. It's not even daily. It's hourly, so yeah. It's hard to really, you know, throw something out there and have it be relevant, you know, 36 or 48 hours later. So I think that's good. Just talk about where we're at and hopefully we can do another one in a day or two with a little more clarity on the specifics.
Well, it would be hard to do an MLP preview not knowing who's showing up too.
So. Yeah. I mean, really. So who the hell cares about the tournaments? I know you got a gold medal. Good for you, buddy. But the tournaments this past weekend, there's a lot going on. I mean, I was at Cincinnati. I don't even remember it. So yeah, all good. Let's reconvene here in a couple of days and hopefully we can, you know, spit out something that's a little more structured and sound than just, like you said, hypothesizing.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Sounds good. Talk to you then. Bye, guys. All right.
Later.